So turning to another subject area that's been getting a lot of attention recently, no poach agreements. In 2016, the Federal Trade Commission and DOJ Antitrust Division issued antitrust guidance for human resources professionals. And in that, they noted for the first time that no poach agreements may be prosecuted criminally. Rob, what exactly are no poach agreements and what risks do they present for businesses?
So no poach agreements are, I think, pretty much what they sound like. They're agreements between companies to not poach each other's employees. They come in different forms. They can be agreements to not hire each other's employees or agreements to not solicit from each other. So that new guidance that you mentioned, Jenny, in 2016, where the government said that they were going to proceed criminally against naked no poach agreements, is that was sort of an indication of an enforcement focus, but I don't think it was really a change in the law. The government could have always gone after these agreements criminally if they had wanted to. I don't know that they've actually brought a criminal case yet, although I'm sure they're planning on doing so when they find the right facts. So I think there's an important distinction between what a naked no-poach agreement is and something that's not naked. So if a no-poach agreement is ancillary to some sort of larger collaboration, the federal government, at least, has said that they would proceed against those types of agreements under the rule of reason, meaning that if it's tailored to a legitimate purpose and it's has a pro-competitive rationale, then it's going to be acceptable. If it's a naked no-poach agreement, meaning that it's not tied to some larger collaboration, then it's going to be proceed under or the government's going to proceed under the per se rule, and it's going to be found illegal, essentially. So I think these agreements have always carried some risk, but now there's clearly an enforcement focus on it. I think some of the other panelists are going to talk about some of those actions that have been going on right now. But I just wanted to go back to the guidance. And the guidance is not limited to just no-poach agreements. I think the government is also focused on wage-fixing agreements, which would also be per se illegal, and also exchanges of information in the HR area. So when companies get together and exchange information about salaries and benefits. And I think that's a pretty common thing that happens in the HR area, and it's something that for in-house practitioners, we all need to look at and make sure we're doing it properly. I also, as far as the risks that you say, I mean, the risk is that we get accused of violating Section 1 of the Sherman Act, of the Clayton Act, and we have a criminal case brought against us for having a naked no-poach agreement. But if we're trying to do what the government has said, I think the potential greater risk is state enforcement, which is not as clear-cut. There are some states that are more aggressive, some states that view these agreements, even when they may be ancillary to a larger collaboration, as per se illegal, unlike the federal government. And then there's also the follow-on class actions, which is also a greater risk. I mean, once the government brings a case, you're going to have those class action cases. You have large classes potentially of employees over long periods of time. So those potential penalties and damages will add up quickly.
So Rob mentioned both some private litigation related to no-poach agreements as well as, you know, government involvement in challenging some of this conduct. Recently, we've actually seen the Antitrust Division intervene in private lawsuits to weigh in on what they believe is the proper standard of review in a particular case. Peter, any additional insight onto when DOJ might prosecute no-poach agreements criminally versus civilly based on some of these filings?
Yeah, and it just it bears mentioning that the antitrust laws obviously can be enforced by the government, but there's also a private component. And when the DOJ came out with this guidance in October of 2016, the private plaintiffs bar jumped on it and said, okay, well, if the DOJ thinks this is a problem, maybe we should think it's a problem too, and started looking around for lawsuits to file, which they started to do. And that caused the DOJ to intervene, as Jenny just mentioned, in some of these lawsuits to try and set the record straight as to what might count as a criminal violation and what would be merely a civil violation. And it was mentioned earlier, if it's what's called a naked agreement, meaning it's just a pure agreement not to have hands off each other's employees or to fix wages, that's something that the DOJ would consider for a possible criminal prosecution. So point one, if it's a naked agreement that doesn't have anything to do with a larger legitimate transaction, because you can imagine a merger or a joint venture where there may be some discussion about employees and which employees are going to be where and what they're going to be doing. If it's ancillary to some legitimate contract or legitimate joint venture or merger, that's not going to be treated criminally. But if it's a naked agreement between two competitors, that's something that the DOJ reserves the right to pursue criminally. Secondly, it would have to be something that was entered into after this guidance was instituted in 2016. So if the agreement goes back a ways before that guidance was issued, I think the DOJ would take the position that the public wasn't really on notice that we considered these things potentially criminal, so you're probably off the hook there. And so those are the basic rules of the road as far as whether something crosses over the line into criminal territory.
And the state, and I'll notice note also that this HR guidance that we're talking about from 2016 is available in your CLE materials. The state attorneys general have also been active in prosecuting no-poach agreements, including some you may have read about in the news involving fast food franchises. Clay, what takeaways do you have from these recent cases?
So as Peter said, following the guidance, there were a series of class action lawsuits filed. The states also began focusing on these no-poach issues. It's become in particular a priority focus of the Washington Attorney General's office. They have been investigating a significant number of entities relating to their franchise agreements. So.